Amen. Amen. If you have God's word, please turn with me to the book of Philippians. I want to just say, I haven't really said much, and I'm sorry that I haven't, but I want to just say that I'm so thankful for Pastor Nathan and also for Brother Kevin Samilla, and they're filling the pulpit and teaching while I was unable to do that. Really, both of them, God used in my heart in those messages that they preached and taught. And I'm truly thankful. And I know Brother Jonathan, Brother Barry have also preached in the last year several times. And we'll get you back on the schedule, guys. And thank you. Thank you, Pastor Nathan, for your effort and study. And we'll need you to preach again for sure. You know that. But I just wanted to publicly say how much a blessing it was not to be sick. I guess I could still say it was a blessing, but because you're supposed to give thanks in everything, not for everything, but in everything. Okay, don't miss that word in the Bible there. But their messages really touched my heart. And so that's my praise tonight. Okay? All right, we're on lesson number 8 in our series. If you have the student book, lesson number 8, Philippians chapter 4. And tonight we're going to be looking at verses 10 to 20. 10 to 20. With this theme, and I love this theme for tonight, striving with confidence in God. Just that thought. Think about that. Those three words. Confidence in God. You know, we can try to put confidence in man, and it's only going to go so far. But if we put our confidence in God, there is a guarantee there in every area of our life that he will meet his obligation. Whatever he says in his word, he will do it. We take him at his word, and we know it'll happen. Now, Paul is writing, this is Paul, one of Paul's epistles, and some people think this is his favorite church, the church at Philippi. The theme of Philippians, maybe you could think of the one word that I'm thinking of tonight. The overall theme of Philippians. Does any of you men that are here tonight, can you think of one word that I might be thinking of? Love? Okay. That I'm not saying that's wrong, but there's a what's that? Brotherly love? Okay, all right. That's still good. I'm not on that wavelength, but I like both of those terms. A lot of people believe that the overall theme of Philippians is the word joy. The word joy or the word rejoice. And so we're going to learn tonight. We'll get into this as far as we can. And we're going to look at Paul's experiences, Paul's example. You know, we can learn from our fellow man, okay? It's not that we say, well, you know, I only follow God and I only follow God and this and that and the other thing. Yeah, but God uses fallible men like me and fallible men and women like you to be a help to other people. And look, Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, but Paul, before he got saved, murdered Christians. And so we're going to be able to learn from not only Paul's example and his confidence in God, but hopefully also we're going to learn from the example of the Philippian believers and their confidence in God. Webster's Dictionary tells us that confidence, we're going to get to our text in a minute. Webster's Dictionary has several definitions for confidence. Let me read a couple of them. The first one is the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something, firm trust. That's a good definition, confidence. Another definition in Webster's Dictionary is the state of feeling certain about the truth of something. The state of feeling certain, like, I believe this, I have confidence in this, that it's going to happen. Another one is not one that you want to be, you want to follow, or that I want to follow. I would say this is a worldly definition or a worldly objective of confidence, and here it is. A feeling of self-assurance arising from one's appreciation of one's own abilities and qualities. Wow. Now, there's something about being confident in your own skin that's not necessarily bad in a point. But it's not that I'm confidence in is in me. My confidence is in the one who is in me. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So those first two definitions of confidence, those are what we want in our life. We want that firm trust. You think about that. Can we say that we have a firm trust in Almighty God? Now, that's easy to say when everything's going right. That's easy to say when you're healthy. That's easy to say when there's not an urgent matter. And that, I'm not saying that we won't say it when all those things are happening, but that's where we want to get to. We want to strive together in our confidence in God, a firm trust in God. If we approach the Christian life with the idea of the third definition, that it's all about us, then guess what's going to happen? In a very short time, we're going to get discouraged. We're going to get defeated. We're going to get depressed. And we're going to quit. Why? Because our confidence, that third definition was, I'm confident in my abilities. Well, I can tell you right now, my abilities fail all the time. But Jesus never fails. My boldness is weak at times, and I don't deliver the truth. But if my confidence is in Christ, it's not a matter if I'm a timid individual or if I'm an extrovert or an introvert or an uptrovert or a downtrovert. I just made up two of those, okay? Why not? It doesn't matter any of those. What matters is, am I anchored in Jesus? So tonight I ask you by way of introduction, how is your God confidence? How is your God confidence? Too many times we shrink in fear when difficult circumstances come, when fearful circumstances come, when uncertain, when the future is uncertain. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I've been there in certain areas of my own life, and as a pastor, I've been there in certain areas of your life. This is uncertain. I really haven't had time to talk about it a whole lot because of just how God, you know, basically just squashed me for about 3 weeks. But you know, every Saturday night for the last 4 weeks. I'm sorry, Miss Ross. But I relive that call. I relive that going to the apartment every Saturday night since then. I know that I'm removed from it. I'm not as intimate as Ross being his wife. But, you know, that's a very uncertain future for Miss Ross. We're praying for you, sister. We love you. I don't mean to bring up that kind of news. But you know what? My confidence is not in what I see. My confidence is in the one I cannot see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How's your God confidence tonight? I want to encourage us as the people of God to press forward in faith and press forward in confidence in Almighty God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I just gave you that a minute ago. All right, let's jump into our text now, and we'll try to get through at least one of these. I don't think we're going to get through three of them by the look of the clock. We might get through two, all right? So we're going to see three dimensions of a confident faith in God. Number one, is in, you're in Philippians 4, I think, by now. Look with me at verse number 10. God's word says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am." I used to think when I lived in the U.S. and I was a little bit younger, that's what they're called down there, states. And so I thought, well, whatever state you live in, you know, if you're in Michigan or Tennessee or Ohio, that's just, sorry about that. That's dad humor. But anyway, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through who, church? Christ, amen. Notice a few key words, all and Christ. I just can't do this. Whoa. Then you're going to have to scratch that word out of your Bible. But don't scratch it out of your Bible. You can do all things through Christ. That's where the confidence lies. That's where the faith lies, which strengthens me. So number one, if you have the book there, if you're taking notes, the word is product. What is the product of placing my confidence in God? Well, there's three things that we find in these verses of Scripture that come out of, that's what the product is, what comes out of my confidence in God. Number one is in verse 10. "But I rejoiced," there it is. How did I rejoice? "Greatly in your care for me." It's flourished. You were careful. Ye lacked opportunity. Paul's confidence produced cheer. Letter A, Paul's confidence produced cheer. Now, this is what we were talking about earlier, this idea of joy. Rejoice or joy are found 18 times. Now, Philippians is only 4 chapters long. It's a very small epistle, so think about it. 18 times rejoice or joy are listed throughout the pages of this book. And in fact, it seems like it's a command that we're to be cheerful, we're to be joyful. You remember that little verse in Philippians chapter 4? We're in chapter 4. It's not part of our reading tonight, but skip up, if you will, in your Bible to verse number 4, and we find a command. Rejoice in the Lord. And what's that next word, church? Always. Wow. That means I'm to rejoice in the Lord when uncertain future. That means I'm to rejoice in the Lord when there's health problems. That means I'm to rejoice in the Lord when I get unexpected news or unexpected whatever. No, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Now you think, well, how does Paul have the authority? Well, of course, this is God's word. It's not Paul's word. But do you remember where Paul was when he wrote this epistle? I'll tell you where he wasn't. He wasn't sitting in my nice office on Wedgwood Street. I thank God for the office I have. I praise the Lord for it. Paul wasn't sitting in that office. Paul wasn't sitting in his office in Jerusalem or Antioch or any of the other. He wasn't sitting in a palatial place. Paul wrote Philippians from a Roman prison. Now you think about that. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. As he's sitting around in prison looking around and looking. And you know, it wasn't like the prisons of today. I'm quite confident of that. You know, maybe a rat ran by and rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. It puts it in perspective, doesn't it? He sat in Rome. He sat in prison. He was imprisoned. Why? For his faith. Falsely accused in Jerusalem. Enduring rounds of a bureaucratic legal system. He sits down and pens this epistle and about joy in the Lord Jesus Christ and about joy they could have in Christ. Again, it produced joy. What is the confidence? The confidence is in Christ. And when we're confident in Christ, the song says we can smile at the storm as we go sailing on. That little song, I don't know if you know that little song. I won't try and sing it for you, but it's a cute little song. With Christ in my vessel, that's what it is, I can smile at the storm. With my confidence in Christ, I might be brokenhearted on the inside, but somehow that cheer comes out on the outside and I can still be a Christian of joy. Cheer came as a product of it. Now, what are some things that potentially will kill your joy? Well, here's some things that will kill my joy or your joy. Difficult circumstances. That's a joy killer. Man, sometimes you just feel the load of it, and it just feels like it's pushing you down and down, and you feel like, man, I shrunk 6 inches over the last few weeks. Not literally, okay? Me and Brother Tejada, we can't afford it, all right? We can't afford to shrink anymore, all right? We're wanting to greet our Bibles, pray every day, and grow, 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 amen? And when we get to heaven, you know we're going to be 6'6", brother, I'm telling you. I've put in a request for that glorified body. 6'4", 6'5", somewhere in there. And I'm just kidding about that. But you know what? Difficult circumstances, those are joy killers. You know, sometimes there's people that God allows into our life and they kill our joy. I mean, you get around them and it's just, now I don't want to be this way, by the way. Let's not be this way, right? You get around them, and I mean, just getting around them, and within 5 minutes, man, you're fired up. You got the joy of the Lord as your strength, and you get around Mr. Killjoy, and he just starts talking negative and bad and all this and the other thing. And if we're not careful, we focus on Mr. Killjoy or Mrs. Killjoy or Miss Killjoy, and all of a sudden, that joy that we had on Sunday, we walk into work on Monday, and oh, there goes the joy. We don't want to focus on that. Hey, you know what? When that comes, just pause and just go to close your eyes for a minute and just say, Lord, I'm going to rejoice in you right now. I'm rejoicing in you. Please help me not to let Mr. Killjoy do what he wants to do again. Amen. And just move on. These things happen. The product of placing our confidence in God, Paul's confidence produced cheer, letter A. What was this confidence in God? It was a safeguard for his joy. So when he placed his confidence in God, it didn't matter what came. It didn't matter that he was sitting in a Roman prison. He could still say, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Why? Because his confidence was in God. Even in a Roman prison. So it produced cheer. Number two, what else did it produce? Let's look at verse 11 of our text. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Now notice, I've underlined those words in my Bible. For I have learned. That means it takes time to do what we're going to say here and talk about in just a minute. He learned it, right? When you learn something, most of the time, it's not just one session to learn something. For me, I think about it this way. I think, even as a child growing up in immaturity and learning things, my dad would have to over and over and over and over instruct me on things, right? And eventually, guess what happened? I learned it. Whatever it was. But normally, it didn't just happen on time number one. So what did he learn? He learned to be content. He said, in whatsoever state I am. That meant it didn't matter if he had money or no money. It didn't matter if he had health or no health. It didn't matter if he had friends or no friends. He learned in whatsoever state that was going on in his life that because his confidence was in God and that God loved him. By the way, don't forget that tonight. God loves you. Don't let Satan tell you anything different. God loves you. You say, how could God allow this into my life? You know what? I don't know why God does what he does sometimes. If we knew why on everything, we'd be God. And I don't want to sign up for that one. No, thank you. Let God be God. Amen. Let God be God. His ways are not always my ways. His thoughts are not always my thoughts. It tells us that in the Word of God, doesn't it? But so because his confidence was in God, letter B, it produced contentment. Contentment. Because of his calling as a church planting missionary, Paul's life involved a level of unpredictability. I must say that I think we've had a little bit of unpredictability over the last little bit of time, haven't we? But God, hey, but again, my confidence is not in the government of Canada. Hallelujah. My confidence is not in the government of any country. Now I praise God for government. It is something that God instituted. The home, the church, the government. These are God's institutions. I'm not belittling government. I'm just saying that's not where my confidence is, folks. I hope your confidence is not in anything the government comes up with. Hello. Now I pray for the government and you should too. I pray for the government leaders and you should too. But I'll tell you this right now, my confidence should never be in the government. My confidence is in the Lord. And when I'm confident in the Lord, then I have cheer when some people say, how are you still smiling? It's kind of hard to see our smiles right now, isn't it? Because of these mask things, right? But they know if you've got the joy of the Lord. How are you still on top side? How are you still able to whistle in the morning? I like to whistle, don't you? How are you still able to whistle a tune, you know? Get a tune of the day and whistle that thing. Hum that. If you can't whistle, hum it. And how does that happen? It's because our confidence is not in anything, anyone other than Christ. I mean, anyway, contentment, unpredictability. Would God take care of Paul? That was the question. Would God find a place for Paul? Would God provide a people for Paul? Would God take care of him? And I love that word learned. Let's think about that learned for a moment. This implies that his contentment developed over time. Think of it this way. When you're a new Christian and you've only been saved for a little bit of time and you don't understand maybe as much about this faith life, and then you start to read the Word of God and God starts to prove himself faithful, and guess what happens? Little bit by little bit and line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, guess what happens? You begin to learn that God means what he says and says what he means. It takes time. Look, I'm almost 40 years old saved, but I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm still like a disciple that says, Lord, increase my faith. I'm still learning. Ben, stop putting your confidence in you. Stop putting your confidence in man. Yes, we work together and we want to strive together and serve the Lord together. But ultimately, our confidence is in Christ. And Paul said, I've learned it. Again, I that really helped me to see that Paul said the word learn, and I know the Holy Spirit of God gave him that, but it means it was developed over time as God proved his faithfulness. Let me ask you, has God proven his faithfulness to you? Those of you that are joining us online tonight, has God proven his faithfulness to you? And shout amen from your living room. Maybe we'll hear you all the way over here on Hospital Street. Because I can tell you, God has proven his faithfulness. Yes, he has allowed us to go through seasons of difficulty. And yes, he has allowed us to go through seasons of unpredictability. But he's been with us all the way. And he always will be. Paul later expounded on this topic of contentment when he wrote to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6. You'll turn there with me, or if you have it in your notebook, 1 Timothy chapter 6. He says that godliness in verse 6, 1 Timothy 6, 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Think about that. For we brought nothing into this world. Think of that. Isn't that something? The day you were born, you brought nothing into this world. It was just you. You had to borrow some clothes from the nursery in the hospital. You had nothing. I had nothing. But guess what? It is certain we can carry nothing out. Wow. Look at verse 8. And having food and raiment.
having a bite to eat and a pair of pants or a shirt or a skirt or a dress or a suit of clothing or whatever. Let us be therewith what? Content. But they that fall will be rich, but they that will be rich fall into the temptation, a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith, pierce them through with many sorrows. Today in North America, we buy things we don't need with money we don't have. I remember hearing that from somebody a long time ago. Let's be on guard about that. Let's be on guard about that. There's nothing wrong with having things, but here's the statement that I've learned. Don't let things have you. There's nothing wrong with having things, but don't let things have you. The advertisement world that we live in, bombarded with advertisements that we need to have this product or that product, and it really goes against the idea of contentment. So Paul's confidence produced contentment. Number three, look at verse 13. God's word says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul's confidence produced cheer or joy. Paul's confidence in Christ produced contentment. And thirdly, Paul's confidence produced courage. Courage. Paul was convinced that God could accomplish anything in and through his life. You know what? This is not a message about Paul. We're learning from Paul's life for our life. It isn't that we would read this tonight and think, well, that's only for Paul. Only Paul can do all things through Christ. No, that's not true. The Word of God is profitable in every generation. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I read this tonight, and you read this tonight, and I've read it many, many times in my life. I have no idea how many times, but even reading it 50 times or 100 times doesn't matter until I believe it. Do I really believe that I can do all things through Christ? Do I really believe that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think? Do I really believe that He who begun a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ? Do I believe that? Paul believed that. He was not confident in Paul. He was confident in Christ. I read this quote to you. It's a little bit lengthy, but it's powerful, by Mr. Warren Wiersbe, who's with the Lord. All of nature depends on hidden resources. The great trees, we have some great trees out here on the West Coast, don't we? The great trees send their roots down into the earth, hidden for the most part, right? Down into the earth, and what are they looking for? They're looking for water and they're looking for minerals. Rivers have their sources in the snow-capped mountains. The most important part of a tree is the part that most of us will never see. It's the root system. And the most important part of the Christian's life is the part that only God sees. Unless we draw upon the deep resources of God by faith, we fail against the pressures of life. Paul depended, this is still the quote, Paul depended on the power of Christ at work in his life. He said, I can through Christ. You know what? Let's say that together tonight. Just those four words. Can we say that together? If you're joining us online, say it at home with me tonight. Ready? I can through Christ. Okay, this side over here, guys, you are I can, and this side over here, you are through Christ. Ready? Here we go. Yeah. All right, switch it around. That's right. At home, I can through Christ. Brother David up there in the sound booth, I can through Christ. Amen. Miss Jennifer up there in the nursery, Miss Opal, I can through Christ. This was Paul's motto. What a great motto that we ought to have as we think about it. We're going into the school week, the work week. Who knows what else week's coming. But as we go into it, let's go into it with confidence. I can through Christ. When a curveball comes your way this week, and I mean it's a nasty, it's a splitter maybe. If you don't know baseball, sorry, I just lost you. That splitter comes and man, you take a swing at it and whiff. The catcher has it. He's throwing it back to the pitcher. And what happened? I can through Christ. Not I can't. I remember hearing a preacher years ago said, get your dictionary. Look up the word quit and cut it out of there. Now, there's some things we ought to quit. Yes, I know that. A lot of times the word quit, we ought not use that word. I can through Christ. Mark 10:27. Let's look at this verse and then we'll be done tonight. We got through one point. The product of placing confidence in God. But I want you to see this last verse with me. Mark 10:27. Oh, I can through Christ. Let's get a t-shirt. Amen. I can on the front and on the back through Christ. Somebody design one and print it, all right? I'll wear it. I can. Man, I tell you what, I'm serious about it. I can. I don't wear t-shirts a lot. I have them under my dress shirt, but, you know, I'd be tempted to wear that one outside for a couple of days. Well, I guess we better wait till it warms up, okay? But maybe a hoodie. I can. Through Christ. Look what it says in Mark 10:27. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is what? Impossible. But not with God. For with God, what's that next word? All things are possible. Who then can be saved? Hey, this is impossible with men, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. How's this silent prayer request going to get answered? With men, it's impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. How am I going to make it through 2022? It's only January 23rd, and I feel like it's lasted 3 months already. With men, this is impossible. But not with God. With God, all things are possible. Church, this week, may it be our motto every day. Put it on a 3x5 card. Put it in your car. Put it on your mirror at home. Put it in the refrigerator, for Pete's sake. Put it in the refrigerator. You'll see it so many times. Put it on the jug of milk. Put it on the cereal, wherever you go regularly. And pick up food items, right? Put a note, I can through Christ. Paul's confidence produced cheer. You want to be happy? You want to be joyful? Put your confidence in the Lord.